So, tonight, this session is on the word of wisdom. But how many of you know that cop needed the word of wisdom? And so I want to do a quick review. Are we up? A quick review of the introduction from last week. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the gifts that they gave. There's three sets of gifts. Good, he's right on time with me. I had a beautiful cloud and blue in the background. It's gone. So.
Not that we doubt it.
And so the Father gives grace gifts, and the Son gives gifts to his church, the fivefold ministries. And the Holy Spirit gives manifestation gifts. Grace gifts from the Father. They're leadership, hospitality, administration, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, showing mercy, helping, and prophesying. Let me go back up to giving. This is not in my notes, but just quicken in my spirit. That is a gift, giving. It's amazing when that gift get a hold of you at giving, you're being set up to give so much more back. And the church has a problem with giving. So I just want to put that out there. So if the Lord ever touched your heart to give, jump in, because he got you set up to get a whole lot back. Also, ascension gifts are from the Son. Prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For those just coming in, I'm just doing a quick review from last week on the intro. Manifestation gifts from Holy Spirit. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of wisdom, and word of knowledge. You find those two go together a lot. They work in unison with one another. Distinguishing of spirits, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous power. And then there's three categories: speaking gifts, knowing gifts, and doing gifts. Doing gifts, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous power. I'm sorry, those doing gifts, knowing gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, distinguishing of spirits, speaking gifts, tongues, interpretation tongues, and prophecy. Let me tell you, the speaking gifts, in the early church, even to now, the enemy comes after that the most. Why? Because he wants to shut our mouths. Just think about that. I'm going to just stand there just for a little bit. Paul spoke of it as doctrines of devils when they came against those gifts. And churches from the first century on, when they said it was done away with in the first century because everything had been completed, and they start preaching against the gifts of tongues and speaking in tongues. You didn't need that. Why? We need that. The Holy Spirit, the tongues, to edify ourselves, also to edify the church. Just a little side note there. And all of this is comprised in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, miraculous power. To another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, or you could say languages, and still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes this to each one as he determines. And one thing to walk away from with this is that it's all given for the benefit of all. Not only the body of Christ, but even with the word of wisdom, why are we given that? To win the lost. All the gifts are to win the lost. It's to help build us up, strengthen us in the body of Christ, but it's to go out there and win the lost. When we come with that word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, laying hands on someone that's sick and they recover, raising the dead, someone want to know where that power came from, and we can point to Jesus. That fires me up. We winning the loss, talking about Jesus. Yeah. Amen. How y'all doing?
Good.
I don't think I spoke to y'all yet. We got some more folks. How y'all doing?
Good.
Don't get serious on me out there, please. Because, see, this is the family of God, man. We easy peasy, you know? He said to love ye one another. And that's real big with, if you get around me and know me, you know love is big with me. Why? Because who is God? The Spirit of love. And we're created in his image. So if love is not going on in your life, you need to talk to God. Hello? The gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, the message of wisdom. You may hear it given in all those different ways, but it's the same thing. Now, as I told you, one of the reasons the word of wisdom is given to us is to win the laws. And let me just read something here, if I may, because I'm going to be doing a lot of readings. And the reason for that, we're not taping. This is an audio. So I have to ensure that a lot is captured on audio. So don't get tired of my voice. The word of wisdom enables Christians to present the gospel clearly to unbelievers. Say unbelievers. Everything in us, after we're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, is generated to go out and win the lost. Oh, I could preach right now, but I'm not going to. How the church has closed the walls in and us four no more. The walls have to come down and we have to go out into the masses. But see, the truth is, all of the church isn't ready. That's why I love us doing this on Wednesday, talking about the gifts, stirring ourselves up, exercising and practicing the gifts, what we'll be doing later this evening. And I'm going to try to ensure that we have enough time for that. But reading on, the apostles throughout the book of Acts presented the gospel in a different manner each time they preached, sometimes bold and public, other times gentle and private, and sometimes they preached within a Jewish framework and other times with Greek philosophy in a lecture hall. So what is that saying? We have to be ready wherever we are to preach the kingdom of God. And whatever we serve, I'm going to tell you this, whatever we serve, it has to be on a platter of love. That's a must. Because if it's not on a platter of love, they won't see the Spirit of God in you. They'll see flesh. Hello? Oh, come on, I don't want to preach tonight. Let's stay on task. What do you need to know about the word of wisdom? Number one, you need to know that you have to be a believer and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it's not going to manifest but through the Holy Spirit in you. It's a must. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as Paul liked to say, with the evidence of speaking in an unknown language to you. Acts 8, 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they may receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. It's that easy, church. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. But I'm going to tell you, the devil will fight you. I have a story, I'll save it for later, how long he fought me about speaking in tongues. And see, I came out of the charismatic movement back in the 70s. I could tell you some things. Let me tell you this experience that I made. I remember, and see, that was during the time in college and all that stuff, Wild and Whoopi and the charismatics running around, the Moonies running through our campus. you know the Moonies, right? Running through our campus with their signs and all that. And we were up in this apartment complex preaching Jesus. And it was a couple in this apartment, and we're preaching Jesus. And the Spirit of God was moving. And then all of a sudden, I never heard that since. I heard a mighty rushing wind come through the apartment. It sounded like a jet plane. And all we could say, everybody in there was, wow. Never heard anything like that since. But I knew what it sounded like in the upper room because I experienced that. But the folks that were there, they quickly got baptized and quickly got saved. Because it was a powerful move of God. I've asked the Lord, let me experience that again, but that's on him, you know. And it could have been that period that was in the charismatic movement. Acts 9, 15 through 19. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God had plenty for this man to do, but he couldn't do it until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to tell you, the importance of it, before I go on into sharing about the Word, we have to be filled. And it's not a one-time thing, church. The Bible talks about being refilled and refilled. Man, I want to get with him every night and get drunk in the Holy Ghost again. Go after it. It's a free gift from God. He wants us full to overflowing. He wants us operating and walking in his power. These works that I do, greater works than these shall you do. How can we do it without being full of the Holy Ghost? I want y'all hungry tonight for more. Am I getting you stirred up and excited? Say amen if I am. Oh, you make me feel so good. And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after that, taking some food, he regained his strength. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. And you see folks running after the gifts all the time. But excel in the ones that's going to build us up. Build the church up so we can go out and do stuff for God. Amen? Oh, I'm getting happy. I don't know if you, but I'm getting happy up here. Glory to God. And that's my passion. That's my heart. To see the body of Christ built up. On fire for God. Doing stuff for God. Laying hands, raising dead. You know what I'm saying? Most folks raise the dead, they're ready to run in the other direction. Man, we got to get bold for the Lord. I mean, when I was a young thing in the 70s, I was a firecracker. Oh, yeah. I was a firecracker. I mean, you know, phew, I lay hands on a car. Start in the name of Jesus. And one time it did, a broke down car, because I had that kind of faith. Why? Everything here is made from him. And we have authority in the earth and over the earth because he gave it to us. We have to. We have to get on fire for God. You know? This is not a plaything, but he wants us to have fun doing it. Do you hear me? Oh, he's a joyous God. He loves to do this in joy. Have joy in the process. There's nothing worse than a sourpuss Christian. It is, you know? Because if you're a believer, you're supposed to be walking in joy all the time. Why? Because you got inside information. That's why we talk about these gifts during the summer and winter. Because what you stirred up, walking in power, walking in the gifts. So when we get together, you know what I'm saying? We can share with one another and build each other up. Woo! So I want to talk about some of the things we need to utilize when we talk about the word, the message of wisdom. Always utilize clarity and simplicity when operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Clarity and simplicity when operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It will always bring the most effective results when ministering to someone. It's better to wait until there is a clear sense of what Holy Spirit wants than to bring something that is confusing and disorderly. Without a clear sense of God's purpose, people are left perplexed or fearful, which is never, ever God's intent. It's better for you not to say anything than to come out of your own head or your own flesh and not the Spirit of God. They'll be better off. Ignorance and their use can do more harm than good. The fact that these gifts originate with God does not imply that their use is always beneficial. It goes back to the one operating in the gift. He is perfect in all his ways, but sometimes our flesh can be a little messy. Like the rest of God's creation, people can mismanage them. Ignorance in these issues can do damage and put people off. Y'all in the body of Christ, have you ever got a word that was kind of off? You say, where did that come from? You know, because someone trying to be spiritual, but they're operating out of the flesh. What I do in those cases, I extend grace. Like tonight when we do practice, I'll say it now, one of the things we say, that we give you the right to practice. So we're not taking this stuff on us. If it sounds good, praise God. We'll put it on the shelf and pray about it. But we want to be exercised in the gifts. Immaturity can lead to the practice of unbiblical standards. For this reason, the manifestation gifts are subject to standards and oversight of leaders and mature believers, or else they do harm, more harm than good. And that's why in this church, we have leadership, oversight. Like if someone comes in, I think John may have spoke on it last week even. If someone comes in to prophesy to our folks, we don't know you, we're going to put a stop on you right then. We don't know you. And we're not quenching the spirit, we're quenching you. Because we don't know you. Amen? Because we're watchful over our people. We care for their souls. Why? Because that's what we're called to do. We're anointed to do. We're gifted to do. We're commanded to do. First Corinthians 11:17, and the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Paul was talking to the church at Corinth. That was a wild bunch. I mean, they had gifts flying and going. I mean, they were loaded with gifts. But no real leadership, no real order, all kind of stuff going there. And Paul had to come in and begin to speak order into the place, speak leadership into the place. And God, even in this season, this time, he's raising up leaders to speak into the churches. Our lead pastor, that's what they're doing now. Out there in the world, in the churches, speaking, bringing love, bringing grace, bringing the word of God, bringing power, operating in the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And that's our thing here. We don't want the church ignorant. Any way we can, we're going to feed you, set you up to win, give you opportunities to practice the gifts in a safe environment where there's oversight and leadership and gentle, loving correction in place. Why? Because we want the body to grow in grace, to grow in strength, and most of all, and this could be just me, to grow in love. It's power in love. If the church can get a hold of that. Let me just share this with you, a side note. The last of the apostles, John, historically speaking, he got to the place that he was so old that they had to tie him to a chair to carry him around to speak. And they would bring him to a place, and folks would gather around, because he's the last of the apostles, to hear what this great word, this man of God is going to say. And he would open his mouth, and he would say, love ye one another. And he wouldn't say another word. How many of you think walked away disappointed because they didn't hear a whole thesis or dissertation? But what he said was so powerful. Love ye one another. There was nothing else to be said. Because if they could just operate in that, so much could have been accomplished in the body of Christ. And really, to get a hold of that, it really takes revelation to get a hold of God's love. Clarity and simplicity are the most effective route when operating in the knowing gifts to ensure people leave with a sense of purpose. When you're ministering, you want folks to walk away edified, strengthened, build up, leaving you with a sense of purpose, not walking away scratching their head, you know, wondering, what was that? Because, see, the gifts in operation by the Spirit of God, folks are going to leave you strengthened, edified, built up, on fire with a charge in life because they can really see their future ahead of them. Why? Because you just prophesied a word to them from the Spirit of God. You just gave them a word of knowledge by the Spirit of God. And with the word of knowledge, you gave them the wisdom of God. Clarity is vital. Everyone needs to understand this. And I may say this a couple of times. Understand this, and leaders are to ensure it. It is better to wait until there's a clear sense of what the Holy Spirit wants. I want you to get a hold of that. And I think this may be the second time I'm repeating that to you. Then to bring something that is confusing and disorder. I'm saying that again because we'll be practicing tonight. Without a clear sense of God's purpose, people will be left perplexed and fearful. And what did I say before? It's never God's intent. So, let's talk about what the word wisdom is not. The word wisdom is not a gift you can operate without the unction of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. The word is not a gift connected to academic success. It is not guessing and making suggestions. The word of wisdom is not assuming something. It's not just getting a good idea. It is not natural wisdom that we're born with, even if you have a large IQ. That's a whole nother natural wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of God. It is not the ability to help people or give people good advice. How about that? How many folks go around giving good advice and helping people and they think they're operating out of the word of wisdom? No, what you're doing is helping people and give good advice. You're not operating out of the word of wisdom. Because That's by the Spirit of God. Now let's talk about what the word of wisdom is. The gift of wisdom is promised to us in the new covenant. It's unearned and it's a free from the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. It's unearned and it's free from the Holy Spirit. No performance is in that. You know what's in there? Surrender. You know what's in there? Being a willing vessel. You know what's in there? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what's in there? Loving the body of Christ and wanting to see them built up and raised up. The gift of wisdom often accompanies the word of knowledge. When the Lord speaks about an issue or an event that is to come, he often gives that knowledge, a godly answer for his people. You know, a lot of times you will see them working hand in hand. A word of knowledge and a message of wisdom. The gift of the word of wisdom is a gift to be sought after, along with all the other manifestation gifts, but is a precious commodity for anyone seeking to grow in their walk with God. You want to grow in God? Go after the gifts. Go after the gifts. So he can talk to you, so he can use you, so you can be a blessing to other folks. God loves to give wisdom when we most need it. My mama used to say, all y'all got them, mama used to say things, right? My mom used to say, let me tell you something, boy. That's when she wanted to make a point at me. God may not be there when you want him, but he's never late. Have y'all heard that before?
Yeah.
See, the old school, man, they had so much in them, so much wisdom that they passed on to us, and something has been left out a generation. We got too, how should I say, intellectual. Sometimes we need to bring stuff back to where the rubber meets the road with the folks that are coming up behind us. When life is bleak and difficult, he provides a perfect wisdom. God's wisdom can make difficult, seemingly immovable situations turn to peace and success. Often it will be extremely practical in its application. James exhorts us that when we are in trouble, we should seek God in prayer. James 5:13, if anyone is among you in trouble, pray. And not only do you want to pray, you want to get around some believers that know how to pray. Because there's power in numbers. And out of that praying together, because you're in trouble, a word of knowledge will come. A message of wisdom will come. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it's so simple and so practical. Let me just share one with you. I think a few weeks ago, this is no one from Northlands, I was talking with someone. And in the conversation, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about some things, and it shocked them because they wondered how I knew it, you know? And I'm not going to reveal that per se, but it's nothing real bad. But it was some things going on in the personal life that was bringing aggravation and annoyance to them. And then behind that, I heard in my spirit a simple word, and I'll give you this word of wisdom that came. And see, you don't say, and God said. You just blew everything out of the water. So, you know, I really sense that the Lord is saying that you need to strengthen your no. And that was a word of wisdom again. Because this particular person, I learned later, was having issues with personalities and saying no to them. So they had themselves all the time in situations of being used. So you hear the wisdom behind what the Lord told him? I sense that the Lord said he wants you to strengthen your no. But what he said to me was, tell her. And I didn't say, well, God told me to tell you. No. Uh-uh. Simplicity and clarity. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge often function together. And usually, I would venture to say it's between 80 and 90% of the time you'll find them working together, if not higher. So, what is the word of knowledge? And I'm going to touch on a few things here so you'll understand that. But y'all are in for a treat. Ooh. Let me get a drink first. Next week, the session will be on the word of knowledge. And it's so good that they're back to back, because you'll see how they run together. And they'll probably speak some about the word of wisdom, because they're good partners. What is the word of knowledge? The word of knowledge can sometimes be just between God and an individual. You know, let me just say this. This is a saying I picked up years ago. I don't know, 30 years or plus years ago. And I use this as a rule for me. Whenever God tells me anything, the first thing I have to say, God, is this to say or is this to pray? Because everything he gives you is not to say. And most often what he gives you is a prayer matter for you to take in intercession, for you to take in prayer, to stand in the gap. That's just on a side note. Is this something for me to say or pray? And if your heart is right, he'll be very clear coming back with you, no, pray. And he'll put a burden in you for that until he releases you from that. There will be some knowledge the Lord shares with us that is specific to our own personal walk with him, and he meant for it to remain between us. There's things God has said to me, and probably to you too, that has always been you and me, Lord, because it's just for me. Just for me. How many times, say in your baby, when you were a child of God and not a son and a daughter, say you're still drinking milk, and you went and blabbed something the Lord gave you, and you were cut down, and you walked away, did God really tell me that or what? That's why, is it to say or pray? Before you do anything, hold it close to you. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Meditation on his goodness, meditation on his grace, meditation on his love will bring so much depth into your soul. That's when I first started getting a revelation of his love 30 years ago. I started meditating on his love. And Lord, I want your love. I want to love like you love. Because if you're loved, I want to be just like you. And in the course of that, he put such a heart in me for the body of Christ. I can't explain it, but it's there. I can't tell you how much I love y'all. But I do, because it's a God thing. It's a God thing. And see, and that's for all of us. Love ye one another. I'm hoping you're getting something tonight. A word of knowledge is the gift of the Holy Spirit to make his will, nature, and presence manifest. He does this by revealing a piece of what he knows to one of his people for a specific reason. It is a supernatural revelation of certain facts. These facts concern something previously known through normal human process. The Holy Spirit shares some of his supernatural knowledge because he wants to further his purpose and demonstrate his heart. How does this gift come to us? The Holy Spirit can bring these words of knowledge to us in a number of ways. Sometimes it will be use general knowledge to start or provoke our thought processes. And see, and that's why even tonight, when we do practice together, it'll start off like in a discussion, or you're saying, well, you know, and I'll get more into that toward the end of this when we get close to practice, just how I want it to go, how I want it to set up, because it has to be order, it has to be clarity, it has to be simplicity, and it has to be leadership over it in a loving, practical way. Sometimes he will use general knowledge to start or provoke our thought processes. And so we can have a general conversation. How many times have you been talking with someone, someone you care about, know, or whatever? And if you're a believer, God's going to come in there. You know what I'm saying? In the conversation, whether it's a situation, an event, or circumstance you're talking about, and all of a sudden the Lord will drop something in you. And you say, I don't know, but. And it'd be a God answer. Just out of normal conversation, he will invoke the Spirit to come in and minister to you. It doesn't have to be all churchy, and usually when it's churchy, you're messing up. I'm going to just tell you, because you're super spiritual in the flesh, because, see, it's so much humility in the things of God, and when you're operating out of the Spirit of God, humility is all there. Why? He said, I will resist the proud, but I will give my grace to the humble. My grace, my empowering presence that will enable you to be and to do his grace to the humble. You know, he can't stand a religious spirit. I just thought about myself some years ago. I was looking at TPN, and this was some years ago when they had the tattoos and the bike rides and all that, and this was the first time I seen it, and judgment came up in me, and right after that, I heard the Lord say, that's religious, and you know what, I repented real quick. That word repent means to change one's mind. I repented quick. Because you can't look at the outside of someone and judge what's going on in the inside. Else we would be in big trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because the Father looks at us through the eyes of his Son. Because he did it all, paid it all, and we look just like him. And if you look hard enough in the mirror, you'll see Jesus. If you're born again. Glory to God. Sometimes he will use general knowledge to start or provoke our thought processes. When, whatever way he chooses to reveal this knowledge, we're left, now listen at this, because I want you to get a hold of this. We're left with a definite conviction, an impression, or sudden knowing in our spirit. You notice I didn't go to my head. In our spirit. It will rise up mighty in your spirit. Have you ever been sharing with someone about the things of God? You know, just conversation, and they may be an unbeliever or whatever, and you're just sharing. And all of a sudden, you had to stop and listen to yourself. Because all this wisdom coming out that you haven't heard before, say, whoa, that's good. Oh, that's good. That's real good. That's good. Ooh, you smart. But you had to back up, no, that ain't me. That's how he uses us. the word of wisdom flowing out of us. Why? For the lost to be saved. That's why it's important for us as believers to constantly go after infillings of Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time deal. Paul talks about it and being filled again to overflowing. A lot of times it will happen in your quiet time, your special time with him. Just start praising him, Lord Jesus. Oh, fill me, Lord, more, more, more. More, more, more. Can you tell I'm in love with him? Oh, I love him. I love him. I love him. Because I understand what he did for me. I understand the penalty he paid for me on the cross. I understand his goodness. That when he was raised up from the dead, I was raised up with him. I understand he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm seated with him. When you start getting that revelation of who you are, you can't help but love him and walk in his power. I ought to take off my big G. But, you know, and it's very natural. See, we're supernaturally natural. We are. And the closer we get to him, the more of him will show up. That's why I love him so. And I want to be so close to him. Because I want everything he has and I want to give it out. Why? Freely it is given. Freely give. Everything he has, the whole kingdom of God, is free for us. We have to take off the ceilings, move out the walls, and get into where he is and operate out of his power, his grace, and his goodness. I don't want to start preaching. Thank you, David, for slowing me down. Glory to God. Whew, I'm coming to a close almost. New Testament examples of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Agabus, who was recognized as an ascension gift prophet, functioned in a word of knowledge. When he predicted a famine to come. Sound a little bit like Joseph. The disciples, functioning on a word of wisdom, decided to send money with Paul and Barnabas. And that's found over in Acts 28, 11, 28. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread all over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and the sisters living in Judea. They did this, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. A word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. How many times have a word of knowledge rose up in you personally from God and a quickening saying, don't do this, don't go there, get this, do that, and you hit the override button. And later on you say, oh man, I miss it, that was God. We have to come sensitive to the point where we have a Holy Ghost force field over the override button. So when Holy Spirit ministers to us personally, we hear it and we do it. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. And we're not children. We're sons and daughters. Because we sit in here, we're not on milk, we're on meat. Amen? The word of wisdom foretold of Paul's fate in Jerusalem. You find that in Acts 21, 10 and 11. And Paul and his company were at Philip's house. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Oh, he's a busy guy, isn't he? And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound it, and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." How would you like to get a word like that? You know? But Paul, you know, from my reading and studying him, man, he was such a guy full of boldness. Such a guy full of the grace of God, the power of God. To the point he said, "I want to identify with all your sufferings, Lord." That's love. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I'm working on it. I'm just being honest. Because suffering, I can handle emotional, but physical, you know. But the thing is, God will give you a grace for that if you're in those situations. Because the Bible tells of one being John being thrown in boiling oil and got out, nothing was wrong with them. He'll give a grace for you in your situation. You can take that one home. He'll give a grace to you and for you in your situation that you won't feel the sting of it. Okay, we're coming to a close. I did pretty good because we're from 7 to 9. At least that's the schedule time. So we want to try to minister or preach, teach, whatever it may be, for 40, 45 minutes or so, and try to leave enough time for practice. But to put it simply, and this is me, the word of knowledge is the what. And the message of wisdom is the how. Think about it. The what. God is always going to give you the what of it, that knowledge about it. But then he's going to give you the how to bring about the situation and a resolve to success and peace. Thank you, Lord. I hope I said enough to fill your hearts up, for you get an idea of the gift of wisdom. And I'm going to put us on a break, maybe 12 minutes or so you can refresh yourself. Now, I know some of you may have to leave. I just know that. That's because you got kids, you got work, you got those things. And believe me, I just bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, stir them up, the giftings in them, Father God. And we just bless you and release you into those if you have to leave. But those of you staying around for our practice session, go ahead and take a 12-minute break. Refresh yourselves. And we'll talk a little more about the practice when you come back.